Jesus arrives thirsty and tired and sits at the well, Jacob's well. You'll remember that when Jacob first met his soon-to-be wife, Rachel, it was at that well. It's a place of social interaction, especially at the start and the end of the day when it's cooler and makes it easier to carry large amounts of water. So we know that the Samaritan woman was practicing social distancing. She came to draw water at noon, the hottest part of the day. Scholars say that this is the time when outcasts came to the well to draw water. She came at a time to minimize contact with others, probably because she was shunned and scorned by her community because of what Jesus references to the five husbands and the one who's not her husband. Jesus breaks down all of these social barriers and obstacles with her. And he does so, I've counted, with seven. First, Jesus crosses geographic boundaries by crossing the border between Israel and Samaria. Second, Jesus breaks the silence. He says, "Give me a drink." He takes the first step toward connecting with this woman. It's his idea in the first place. Third, Jesus leaves his comfort zone. He does not let physical exhaustion or thirst keep him from initiating this social interaction with this woman. Fourth, he does not engage in the prejudice of the day. Jesus crosses ethnic divides. Samaritans are considered worse than Gentiles because they're partly Jewish. She is amazed. She asks, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Fifth, Jesus does not engage in racism or the abuse of power. He does not try to withhold goodness from her or drive her away. John writes his editorial comment, "Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." This is entrenched social racism. Jesus discards this injustice, and he wants to share an even greater water, a living water. Sixth, Jesus tears down the dividing wall of gender discrimination. Jesus, a man, is talking to this Samaritan who's a woman. Our text says that Jesus' disciples were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. And seventh, Jesus overcomes the obstacles that we create that are hidden in our minds and in our hearts. Without hearing her story, he knows the thoughts and intentions of her heart. Without speaking to her, he knows all things. And then she says, "He told me everything that I have done." These are all divisions that we human beings have created. We are the ones who draw lines on maps. We're the ones who don't speak or listen to one another. We're the ones who are scared to leave our comfort zones, have prejudicial attitudes, say and do racist things, discriminate against people based on gender identity, and disregard people's personal stories. Jesus breaks all these down. just with one encounter with the Samaritan woman. He breaks down these walls of apathy and hostility that we have created through this one encounter with one human being on one hot and sweaty afternoon. As Scripture says, in the kingdom of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free. We are all one. Jesus does this not to socially re-engineer or to start a human revolution. He does this to show us the way things truly are, whether we like it or not. That's the reality of things. We are one. In God's eyes, this woman is not an outcast. She is special. She is God's precious child, and that's how Jesus treats her. Last year, the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood came out with Tom Hanks playing Fred Rogers, known as Mr. Rogers, children's TV show. It's really about a journalist, Lloyd Vogel, who's actually a different name than the real person, but it's about a real person. This journalist has the reputation of digging up dirt on celebrities he writes about. He's assigned to interview Mr. Rogers, and he sees it as an opportunity to dig up dirt on him. And even though he fights his assignment, he is looking for something scandalous to write about him. This journalist is a person filled with anger, resentment, bitterness, and hardness of heart. Mr. Rogers calls him back on the phone. And one of the first things he says to Lloyd over the phone is, "Do you know what the most important thing to me in the world is right now?" "What?" "Lloyd Vogel. You." What this jaded journalist learns is that Fred Rogers is not playing Mr. Rogers. He's authentically who he is. He genuinely cares about people. He genuinely lives in the moment. He truly prays and cares about individuals. And yes, even as a flawed human being. Jesus, who is unflawed, truly and authentically likes you and thinks you are special. And that's how he is toward each of us, you and me. He told me everything that I have done. For all of us, Jesus leaves his comfort zone, leaving heaven and coming to earth, taking on human flesh, taking the time, appreciating the full spectrum of humanity, intimately knowing all of our stories, truly caring, not afraid of being seen in public with us, and even loving each one of us to the bitter end. Nowhere is this more clearly seen than on the cross of Calvary. He leaves his heavenly throne to join the intricate fabric of humanity. He listens, he learns, he cares. He publicly is disgraced and is killed. He spreads his arms wide in loving acceptance and forgiveness and assuring us of eternal life. These last weeks have been unsettling. We pray, Lord, help us in the midst of things that are difficult to understand, to find your peace and assurance of your love. Have mercy, Lord, on those who are sick. and medical professionals all around the world. It's at times like these that we remember some universal truths. Humanity has a common enemy, the coronavirus, COVID-19. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't care what color your skin is, what gender you have. It only wishes to self-replicate and will do so even if it disrupts, harms, and kills. That's palpable evil. It is just as we know from God's children, as God's children, that evil is real and palpable in this world. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us, the whole world. That's an inclusive word. All humanity, from all things evil, from sin, the devil, and even death itself. Tear down these walls of hostility between us, divisions between people that we have created, O God. God has brought us together as the human race, not as Samaritans or as Jews. We can pull together intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and prayerfully, even as we practice social distancing. Maybe that's what it means to truly come together as God's children. When Jesus says that he is the living water, he's contrasting himself from Jacob's well. Jesus is no stagnant pool of water deep within the earth. He is like a geyser. He is water that is gushing out, our text says. And that word gushing out only occurs two other times in the New Testament. In each of those two other times, it's about a person leaping for joy because of Christ's healing. One, leaping for joy into the temple. Jesus, the living water, leaps for joy into our lives to satisfy our thirst and to heal us. He is the initiator, the one whose water tears down every wall of hostility, just as powerfully as water gushing out of a geyser. Tearing down the walls of hostility between us and God and us from one another. It is his idea. It's his joy. It's his power. And he brings us together under the banner of his acceptance, his peace, and his love. And in him, our hope will not be disappointed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.